Well, let's get ready to get in the Word of God this morning. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we will read, start at verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he replied, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this morning that we have an opportunity to hear from your word. I pray that you'd speak to us, God. May your Holy Spirit impress on us the truth that we are to know and obey today. Help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are continuing in our series in the book of Acts, and Philip was having major success at his ministry in Samaria. I mean, he was preaching, people were getting saved. It's estimated possibly up to 20,000 people were coming to know the Lord. And I mean, it was like the best ministry experience ever. Now, how many of you all, if you all were going through a good time and good season of your life, you know, something great's happening, maybe your job, you know, everything's going right at your job, you know, it's clicking, it's working, you're getting promoted, people are, you're getting raises, making the best money you've ever made, and it's going wonderful, and then God says, you need to leave that successful job and go work over here where you're going to make nothing. How many of y'all be like, yes, sign me up? You know, so we wouldn't do that, right? We would be hesitant to make that kind of a move, and this is where Philip kind of finds himself in. Not that he was making a lot of money and making, but he was making great impact for the kingdom of God. I mean, his ministry was growing. He was preaching the word of God, and all kinds of people were being converted. I mean, this is a good ministry. This is every pastor's dream. Preach the word of God, people respond, receive Jesus, and seeing all kinds of people get saved. Hallelujah, amen. And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord says to Philip, "Now I want you to rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. I want you to leave this great revival that you're in, and I want you to go down this road towards Gaza to a desert place, just a nowhere place." Now, Philip is described as a man that has, he's one of the seven that was chosen, who's full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. And unlike many of us, he didn't debate Jesus and say, "Are you sure about that, Lord? I mean, do you not understand all the good stuff that I'm doing for you here in Samaria? I mean, look at how people are responding to the gospel. I mean, can't you send someone else to go do that? I mean, doing pretty good." And he could have debated with the Lord and could have said, you know what, I think I'm doing well here. And if he used his just a rational mind, he could have talked himself out of listening to the voice of God. That's not what Philip did. No, in fact, when the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, this is a desert place, it says, and he rose and went. This morning, the title of the message is Get Up and Go. Get up and go. When the Lord tells you to get up and go, what do? You go. He didn't debate it. He didn't think about it. The Lord said, I want you to go here. And he got up and he went. Get up and go. Because why? Because God had a plan. Now, this road that he was traveling, this was not the fastest route to go to where God was sending him. There was actually a new road. There was a bypass. But God sent him on the old road. He sent him on the old path. And the one that's going, where most people aren't going to travel this road. This is a road that had been conquered and in ruins. And it wasn't the smoothest road. You know, he could have went the bypass. And again, if Philip was an American Christian, I'm sure he would have had a different dialogue with the Lord. And he would have said, now, God, you understand that there is a better way to this place. I mean, let me help you out, please. I don't need to travel this road. I can go faster and better on a smoother, better road. But God had a plan. You see, there was a man that was going to be traveling that road that Philip had no clue that he was going to meet, but God knew that this was going to be a divine appointment where Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch were going to meet together. God had a journey for Philip that Philip had no idea about. But Philip was a man of God who was listening to the voice of God. And instead of trying to debate and say, I don't understand this, this doesn't make sense, I know a different way, I think I'm going to go that. No, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he listened to the Holy Spirit, and he was obedient to what God told him to do. And he had an encounter that changed a man's life for all eternity. You see, the Lady Indians, they have this little slogan that they use for their basketball team. And Beth, she's the head coach there. And Chris is her assistant coach. And yes. You like that. And they have this little slogan that says, trust the journey. You know, as the process of them rebuilding and growing. And trust the journey. And I would say that in a Christian perspective of this passage, I would say we would phrase it like this. Trust the God of the journey. Trust the God of the journey. You see, Philip, all he knew was to trust God. He was going to be sent on a journey. He didn't know what was ahead of him. All he knew was that he could trust the God of the journey. You see, sometimes in life, God takes you on a different route than what you would choose for yourself. Because we like to choose the bypass. Right? We like to choose the easy route, the smooth route, the route that's not going to take us in the middle of a desert. But no, God said, I want you to go on this route. In life, God's going to take you places that you have no idea where you're headed, but God knows where you're headed. And you have no idea what road, why you're on the road that God put you on that road. But in those moments, you need to trust the God of that journey. And believe that there is a reason, a purpose why God has you going that route, even though in your mind it makes no sense. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Some of you are headed in your life. I don't know why. I don't know where. I don't know what God's doing. Can I tell you, God knows what he's doing. And he will orchestrate things in your life to work out for the good and the glory of his name. And so Philip is one of these men who's listening to the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this. If God told you to go, are you in a position to hear the voice of God to where you would go? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I wouldn't even recognize the Holy Spirit, to 10 being absolutely I would recognize the Holy Spirit, How's your walk with the Lord? Are you able to hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit? So when he says, get up and go, you go. When he tells you to get up across and go across the street and talk to that neighbor, go across the hallway and talk to that coworker, go across the hall and talk to that school friend. When he nudges you, write that card, make that phone call. How many of you are sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that when he tells you to go, you say, I'm gone. He was a man who was listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God sent him on a journey, and he begins to go down this road. Now, on this road, there is a man traveling on that road. He is an Ethiopian eunuch. He is the court official for Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, eunuchs, according in the view of the Jewish faith, they were looked down upon. They were not allowed to enter into the temple to worship God. They were excluded from the kingdom of God. There were few reasons why a person would become a eunuch. Some was would choose to become a eunuch for the purpose of wealth. And here's why. So kings, they would hire a eunuch to watch over the harem. Because as a man that's been castrated, there's no desire, no threat that he would that he would harm or touch or try to make advance to any of the women in this harem. Also, a eunuch would be a very loyal subject to a king. They would give their lives for a king, and there was no threat or danger of them competing against the king and trying to rise up and create his own dynasty because he had not the ability to procreate. So he was used for those purposes. And they would rise to significant power at times, like this man here. He rose to what we would say is Secretary of Treasury. He was in charge of being able to handle the money of the queen of Ethiopia. Candace was probably not her real name. It was the title name given to the queen of Ethiopia. Now, when we think of Ethiopia, it's in the biblical land of Cush. It's not the modern-day Ethiopia that we know today. It's actually, it was a larger area, and he was from more of the central Sudan area. And he's the high official here. He's in charge of money because in the Ethiopian culture, the king or the pharaoh was recognized as a god. And so the pharaoh or the king did not rule the nation. He reigned over the nation as a god. But the queen, she ruled the nation. So he was in high position, high authority, handled great wealth, had great wealth. And here he is traveling back from Jerusalem because he went there to worship. Now, this man was more than likely, he's Gentile. He's a God-fearer. He's not converted to Judaism, but he is someone that has heard of the God of the Hebrews, and he's interested in knowing more and more about who he is. Now, the question is, how did they find out about the God of the Bible in Ethiopia? Well, we got to remember, we can go back to Solomon, when Solomon was king, and the Queen of Sheba came to visit him. She was from that area. Sure that Solomon taught her and told her about the Lord, maybe even given her some scrolls and take back. Also, on the day of Pentecost, remember that when the Holy Spirit came and there were people from all different areas present that were there to worship on that day, and when the Holy Spirit came and saved people from all different tribes and nations, they dispersed and they went back, and surely they took some of the gospel back with them. And this man had a longing to desire to know more and more of who God is. Now think about this. If he was looked at upon by a Jew, he would be considered an outcast, not acceptable, someone to be shunned. But God was working in this man's heart. There are times when I know that Christians have made this statement. There's absolutely no way this person's getting saved. Huh? How many of you all have ever thought that? Thought, man, there's no way God's going to save that person. I mean, they're so far in this or that, or they're unreachable. There's just no way that God could ever change a heart like that. They're not acceptable. Can I tell you that God can reach and save and redeem anyone he pleases? No matter where they're from, no matter what their race is, no matter what their life situation is, he can change them, make them new, change their heart, set them anew, and save their soul and bring them into his kingdom. And so no one is unreachable, right? The gospel goes out to who? Just some or all? No matter race, creed, color, the gospel is for all people. And so he's traveling, he's in a chariot, like a coach, and he's traveling along, and he's reading from a scroll. He's reading from Isaiah. Now watch what happens in verse 29. It says, "And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot," right? Philip, he's walking on the road thinking, "Lord, okay, you've got me on this road." He might be singing, "Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God." You know, he's waiting to hear from, and the Lord says, "You see that chariot? Go talk to him." And what's Philip do? I love Philip. The more I read about Philip in the book of Acts, the more and more I love Philip. Look what Philip does. What's he do? Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah. You know, so picture this. You know, Philip, he's walking. He sees this chariot. And the Spirit says, go talk to that man. And he doesn't just stroll up. Man, he runs. He runs. Catches, hey, you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? I mean, the chariot's going. He's just running right along with them. Do you understand what you're reading? He hears him reading Isaiah. And the eunuch says, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invites Philip into the chariot to talk with him. Now, in life, you will be surrounded by various types of people. Some of them, you may not think that God's working on their heart, but God may very well be working on their heart. You may think that individual has no desire to know God, but they may be reading the Bible. They may be going through a life circumstance that has dropped them to their knees, and they're searching for some type of answer. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to use his people to come alongside others and say, hey, do you understand this whole Jesus thing? Do you understand the Bible? Do you understand the gospel? Do you know how to know Jesus? And you know what we as believers need to be able to do? Everyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ, we ought to be able to share our faith and tell someone how they can go from death to life. Every single one of us ought to be able to tell somebody how they can be forgiven and set free from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God who came to save them, die for them, rose again, is a king, sets up his kingdom, and he's coming again. He invites them to be a part of his kingdom. So I'd ask you another self-evaluation question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, I don't really know how to 10, absolutely. How confident are you that you could share with somebody the good news of Jesus? That if someone said, how do I be saved? that you would be able to tell them how they can come to know Christ. And so Philip's talking with this man, and he's reading, and at the passage he's at, he's at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. And Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the greatest passages in Isaiah that speaks of the suffering servant. And he reads, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. Who is the prophet talking about here, church? Jesus. We know that's talking about Jesus. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Now, before chapter 53 in Isaiah, of course, when he was reading the scroll, it wasn't broken up into book, chapter, and verse like we have it today. But before chapter 53 in Isaiah, I'm going to give you this deep revelation. You ready? Chapter 11 comes before that. Right? Did y'all know that? Now look, in Isaiah 11, verse 11, it says this. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet to a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, and from Cush. This is where this man was from. Maybe, just maybe, here is the heartbeat of the Ethiopian eunuch. I wonder if the God of the Old Testament, is he really the God of all gods? And if he is the God of all gods, I wonder if he could accept me. Would he welcome me? Would he love me? Would he be open for me to be a part of his family? And as he was reading that Isaiah, man, am I one that God would want to rescue and bring back into his kingdom? I wonder how many people are out there that truly wonder, is there a God? And if there is there a God that really would love me and want me and die for me? You see, we get so busy in life, right? We get so busy, we go to work, we do this, and we go to the ball field, we coach your team, and we just so busy in what we're supposed to accomplish that oftentimes we forget about the people that we're actually doing life with. And never ask the question, are they seeking to know who God is? Is God stirring their heart? Is there a desire for them to know the Lord? And we need to be spirit-led enough to be able to recognize when God's moving and speaking. And so Philip gets up there. He's in the coach with him now. And look at verse 35. I love this. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with what? This scripture, what's this scripture? What scripture is he talking about? What scripture did Philip begin with? Isaiah, right? And beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about who? About Jesus. I love this because here we have Philip. What's he doing? He is using the book of Isaiah to preach what? Jesus, the gospel. Man, this is what Philip did all the time. Philip in 8:5, he proclaimed Christ. In 8:12, he was preaching the good news about God's kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Philip was a man that preached Jesus. He preached the good news. He told people about Jesus. Why? My question to you is this. How did Philip know to preach like this? Where does Philip get his training? Okay, the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember a verse back in Acts chapter 2? So I want to encourage you to, as we go through the book of Acts, to try to reread and just read Acts as many times as possible. Because watch this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, y'all remember this? See if you can't remember this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to learning, understanding, and living out the apostolic teaching. Now, who are the apostles? Those who walked with Jesus, who saw Jesus. How did they learn about how to interpret the Old Testament? From who? From Jesus. Remember, Jesus shared with them when he was living, but then when Jesus died, rose again, and he came back to them and spent 40 days, he opened up their minds to the scriptures, beginning with Moses, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus taught them about himself. Jesus taught the apostles how to correctly read the Old Testament, that it was about him, and so the apostles taught the church, and the church was committed to a gospel-driven, gospel-preaching, Jesus-centered message. And I would say today, guess what? If we're going to stand in the lineage of men like Stephen and Philip and Timothy and Paul and Titus, we have to be people who preach and teach the good news of Jesus from all of God's Word, from Old Testament to New Testament. It's about Christ. And so he preaches to them about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Here's water. Is there anything stopping me from getting baptized? See, when Philip was talking about the good news, he was faithful to preach and teach the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and make disciples. How do you make disciples? You have to lead them to the Lord. They have to be saved. You cannot make a disciple with someone who's not converted. Conversion. And then after conversion, what do? Baptize them. And then what? Teach them to observe everything I've commanded. And so as Philip's explaining Jesus to him, what's he doing? He tells him about how to be saved. Tells him the good news of the gospel. The eunuch receives the gospel. And then Philip didn't stop there. He said, now once you become a Christian, you need to live out your faith. You need to follow him in believer's baptism. And then you need to start living your life for the glory of him. And the eunuch said, I'm in. I want to follow Jesus. Here's some water. Next step, next thing I need to do as a Christian is I need to be baptized. Can I be baptized? Is there anybody going to shut me out? Does my situation shut me out? Does my ethnicity shut me out? And Philip says, do you believe in the Lord? He says, no, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so they go down in the water and they get baptized. That's one of the earliest confessions of faith that we have recorded in the New Testament of baptism. That's why when we do baptism, that's why we have the confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And when we receive that and we've been born again, then we profess that with our mouth and we're baptized. And as he was baptized, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away and the eunuch saw him no more. But he went on his way rejoicing. Now that must have been a really neat experience, right? I mean, how in the world this happened? I don't know. Did he get baptized? And he came up out of the water, and he had all kinds of water in his eye, and he was doing this, and Philip kind of secretly moved away. And he's like, where'd he go? Or did God just take Philip and send him somewhere else? I'm crazy enough to believe that happened, right? He just, poof, there he went. And think about this eunuch. He'd been accepted He was told the good news of Jesus. He experienced the grace of God. The Holy Spirit came into his life, sealed him that day. And he went away rejoicing. He went away praising God. Why? Because he had been redeemed. He had been set free. In Isaiah chapter 56, if he just kept on reading the scroll, right? He's in 53. He just reads down a little further. And Isaiah 56, he may have read this on his way home as he was rejoicing. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say that the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. He was rejoicing. He got a new name that day. He was free, free, forgiven and free. He was singing the song of the redeemed. Now, tradition tells us that, we don't know for sure, but tradition tells us that he went back, he preached the gospel, and started a church. Some believe he may have baptized even Candace, led her to the Lord. And in Africa, the power of the gospel and the movement of God was huge. It gave us some of our great church fathers, Africa, Tertullian, go look him up, Augustine or Augustine, what did Philip do? Man, I love Philip. Philip found himself in Azotus, some place. Found himself somewhere new, and what did he do? And as he passed through, he what? He preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. What did he do? Man, he preached the gospel. Man, everywhere this guy's going, he's preaching the gospel. He wants people to know the Lord. He wants people to be saved. He wants people to know who Jesus is and to know him as King and Lord so that they can experience his grace and mercy. And I don't know what he used to springboard into his messages from that day on. You know, I can't help but think maybe he just sat on Isaiah 53 for a while and used that as a text to begin preaching the gospel to other people. Man, because it's so rich. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. The grace and the love of Jesus our Lord is simply amazing. That he would die for a sinner like me. And today, I don't know where everyone stands with God. I don't know your situation. I know many of you all here, and I know that you've professed faith. And for those of us who have professed faith, the call to us today is to get up and go. Don't just stay where you are. Grow in your relationship with God. Grow closer to him. Be obedient to him. Know his word. Follow him. Love him and live for him. This morning, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, the word for you today is get up and go. Come to the altar and say, Jesus, I need to be saved. I need to trust in you. Because some of you, you're searching. You're here today not by accident. You're here by divine appointment that God wants to speak to your heart and change your life and make it different from this point on. So would you be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit and respond to what he's telling you to do? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Speak, Lord. May we obey the prompting and the leading of the Spirit of God right now at this moment. Lord, if there's a man or woman here today that needs to be forgiven and set free and come into your kingdom, would you speak, Lord? Tell them to get up and go. For those of us who know you, Lord, may we be sensitive, Lord, to what you're doing in our lives. Father, forgive us when we just let the hecticness of life make us numb and deaf to your voice. Help us to be aware of our surroundings and the voice of the Spirit who wants to speak and lead us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.